Well, good morning. It is a beautiful morning out there. The Lord has given to us, and winter is going. And there's only about another 339 days, and we'll have Christmas again. Time flies. If you have your Bibles with you this morning, please turn with me to John's Gospel, chapter 18. Just one little phrase we're going to look at, and then we're going to develop it from there. John's Gospel, chapter 18, this is when the Lord Jesus Christ was being led to the cross. There was a man called Pilate, a governor or ruler, if you will, and he asked this question in verse 38 of chapter 18. He was speaking to the one who was truth. And look what he asks in verse 38 of chapter 18. Pilate said unto him, that is the Lord Jesus Christ, what is truth? What is truth? That's what we're going to look at this morning. What is truth? And for a moment, we're just going to stop and we think of our world that we live in today. And maybe there's people sitting in our crowd this morning who have been bombarded, and we all have been, because we're living in a world that is not filled with truth. And maybe someone is sitting here this morning, they say, really, what is truth? How many religions are in the world today? Now, there is a difference between true and truth. We can think about things in this world today that are a little bit true. We can think about things in this world today that are partly true or half true. And we can think about things in this world today that are almost true. But on the other hand, truth is something that is absolute. Absolute. No false part in it at all. And Pilate says to the Lord Jesus Christ, what is truth? And maybe you're sitting here today and you say, well, I hear tell of all these religions in the world today. All the different isms, from Protestantism, Mormonism, Catholicism. You go right on down the line, hundreds and hundreds of religions. And what are they based on? Some of them have a little bit of truth. Some of them may be half truth. Some of them may even be close to the whole truth. What we're talking about this morning is truth. Truth. Something that is not just a little true, not just half true, something that is 100% true, and that is the only way you can have truth. We look at our world today, and I mentioned, and we can start from our government. How much do you believe in your government? How much of what they say is truth? When they come into election time, what they call election promises, how many of those promises do they carry out? We go to a courtroom today or in the last many years. And people will stand there to put their hand on their Bible. I swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. Do you believe that? Many people have been in prison and in jails for years that have been there falsely. Why? Because there was no truth. And when something comes to the end after a jury and everything, is it always truth that comes out? 100% truth? Or is it a little bit true, partly true, and maybe almost true? We're talking about truth, something that you can put your bank, your life on. Truth. 100% true. Look in your dictionary under the word truth. What does it mean? It means the true or actual state of matter. It means to be verified or have an indisputable fact. A verified fact. Indisputable fact. That's what truth is. It means to be worthiness. It means certainty. It means surety. It means something that can be unaltered. Something that is unchanging. Something that is absolutely true. That's what truth is. And I ask you this morning, you may say, what is truth? Well, let's look in the Bible and see what truth is. Turn first of all to Deuteronomy chapter 32 and verse 4. What is absolute? What can I bank my life on? What can I say that this will never change? It'll always be the same. Today, yesterday, forever. Truth. Deuteronomy chapter 32 and verse 4. This is Moses, the man who wrote the first five books of the Bible, the man who was known eight times in the Old Testament as a man of God, not just a child of God, a man of God. That means he was born again, he was saved, and then there was development. He grew spiritually, day by day, year after year, and he became a man of God. That's what God would like for every one of us to become. Men and women of God. And Moses would say this in Deuteronomy chapter 32 and verse 4. He is the rock. And we see a capital R there. That is, God is a rock. Something that is solid. Something that you can take shelter in. His work is perfect. All his ways are judgment. A God of what? Truth. And without iniquity, absolutely no sin. Just and right is he. God, then we look in the Word of God and we see that God is truth. He's absolute. Whatever he says, it is true. 100% true. You can bank on it. That is the triune God. The God who said in Genesis, let there be light. And what does it say after that? And there was light. He was a God of truth. He didn't say like our politicians today, I'm going to cut your taxes, and 6 months later he raises them. God of truth. You can bank on what God says. How about your neighbor? How about your friends? Can you really trust them every time they say something? How many of us have even heard we can say a little white lie? And you speak about someone, he's a good guy, yes, but there was this one time he did that, this and that. And like our brother was speaking on the hurt. And Jeremiah chapter 17 says, the hurt is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked, isn't it? And every single one of us in this building this morning knows that. That's why God says there is none good, no, not one. We're talking about truth this morning, something that you can be absolutely bank your life on, and God is truth. Absolutely true. Absolutely nothing that you can find false in him. Let's go a little bit further. We don't want to stop there. John chapter 14 and verse 6. We all know this verse. We're talking about God as a whole, the triune God is truth. He is absolute. What he says is true. Look at John chapter 14 and verse 6. The Lord Jesus Christ came to this world. He was God manifest in flesh. He was God the Son. Look what it says about him. He says to his disciples before he went to the cross, he says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man, that is generic term, man, woman, or child, cometh unto the Father, that is God, but through me. So we see that God is truth. And now we see that his Son is truth, absolute. You can bank on what Jesus Christ says. You can bank on him because he's truth. And we go to those words again, I am the way, the truth, and life. Without the way, there is no going to God's heaven. Without the truth, there is no knowing how to get there. That is Jesus Christ. And without the life, there is no living. You're not alive spiritually this morning. You are dead in your trespasses and sins. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 1 to 3. That is, you are spiritually separated from God. You may be physically alive, and you are. But may I say this, if you're not saved this morning, you're a living dead person. A living dead person. That is not very nice to say, is it? That is, you're physically alive, but spiritually you're dead. And if you die in your sins this morning, where are you going to go? God says, for the wages of sin is death. The word death in the Bible speaks of separation. Separation from who? Not only your family and friends, but from God. Spiritually separated for all eternity. So you want to know the truth? The Lord Jesus Christ says, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. So we see God is truth. We see His Son is truth. We can see also in John chapter 1 and verse 7, it says, for the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. We could go, if you start looking up words like this in the Bible, there's just hundreds of them, the word truth. There are hundreds and hundreds of times of true, who is true. And yet today people will believe all kinds of garbage and lies. What about Darwin? Evolution. We came from the goo, we went to the zoo, and we became me and you. And people will eat that stuff up like crazy. Or the Big Bang Theory. Somebody threw a stick of dynamite out and all of a sudden the elements got together and pshoo, developed a person. Do you know science itself says that nothing living can come from something that is dead? It has to come from a living organism. And yet today people were so deceived and duped by all the garbage and lies. That's what I'm saying. Some of it has a little bit of truth in it. Some of it has half true. Some of it is almost true. And that's where all the religions came from today. God does not ask us to believe in a religion. He asks us to believe the truth. He doesn't ask us to be good. He asks us to believe what He says. But you can't get people to do that.
Oh, when I go to a United Church, or I go to a Pentecostal, or I go to a Presbyterian, or I go to a Bible chapel, it doesn't matter. If you don't believe the truth, it doesn't matter. You're not going to God's heaven.
God is truth. His Son is truth. Let's go on. What about the Holy Spirit? John chapter 15. Turn there with me, please. And this is the Lord Jesus Christ Himself, right from His lips as He walked on this earth. He speaks about God the Spirit. And by the way, God the Holy Spirit is not a mystical something, just a mist. He is a person. And listen to what it says about the Spirit. John chapter 15 and verse 26. The Lord Jesus Christ speaking. And this is what He says. But when the Comforter is come. What a beautiful name. That is the name for the Spirit of God. One who draws near, or one who comes alongside. And that is for you and I who are saved this morning. We are indwelt by the Spirit of God, the Comforter, one who comes alongside. Listen to what it says. But when the Comforter is come, whom I will send unto you from the Father, that is the Lord Jesus Christ, said, when I go back to heaven, I'm going to send the Comforter, the Spirit of God, down to dwell amongst you. I will send unto you from the Father even the, what? Spirit of truth. Something that is absolute. The Spirit of truth, which proceedeth from the Father, He shall testify of me. He will speak about me. He will show you in the Scriptures about me. That's what the Lord Jesus said. Look at chapter 16 and verse 13, again speaking about the Holy Spirit. Howbeit, when He, the Spirit of truth, is come, He will guide you into all truth. Do you know if you're saved this morning or you accept Jesus Christ as your Savior, you can start reading the Bible and you know what? You're going to start to understand it. Why? Because within you is the Spirit of truth. And the Bible says He will lead you into all the truth. He will be your teacher, your guide. Remember what truth is? Something that is absolute. Nothing in it that's false. So we see God as a whole, God the Father, if you will, is truth. God the Son is truth. God the Holy Spirit is truth. Are we going to stop there? No, let's go on to the next one. What about God's Word? Turn to John chapter 17 And verse 17, the Lord Jesus Christ again himself, when he walked down here, as he was, as we call it, the high priestly prayer, he is speaking to God before he went to the cross. He says to this, he says in John chapter 17 and verse 17, he says, sanctify them, speaking about those believers, those who are saved. He says, sanctify them. The word sanctify means to be set apart. It also refers to holiness. Sanctify them with thy truth. Thy word is truth. What is he saying? Those people who are saved, we are not to be isolated in this world of wickedness. We are to be insulated by what? By the word of God. The word of God is truth. And the word of God will insulate us, protect us, keep us, make us holy, will clean us. Because why? Because the word of God is truth. It is absolute. I can bank my life, my whole everything, and that's what, when it comes right down to it, folks, that's what faith is, isn't it? You could say, I don't care what's going on in this world. I don't care about religions. I don't care. I believe God's word. And that's what I did when I was 31 years old. F-A-I-T-H. Forgetting all, I trust him. Forgetting all. All about the garbage, the untruth, the foolishness, the wickedness in this world. And you say, I believe God. I don't care what it says in the world. I don't care what the... Go to the newspaper every morning. My wife and I love to read the newspaper. Isn't it just full of great, great news? Oh, man. What does the gospel mean? The meaning of the word gospel means good news. Why is it good news? Because it's truth. God's word is truth. You can bank your life on it. What God says, that settles it. I believe it. Have you ever done that? Or are you banking your life on something else? Then tell me what it is. What do you base your thoughts on? Your theology, your way of thinking, what are you banking it on? Is it something you can say, I know for a fact? God's word is truth. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. John chapter 15, again, speaking about the word of God, and we're speaking about sanctify, setting people apart from the filthiness of the world. John chapter 15, verse 3, now you are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. You're clean. You and I who are saved, that's how we become clean. Because why do we need to be clean? Because our feet, we're walking in a filthy world. And our feet, which speaks about our walk, our way of living, needs to be made clean. Because we're bombarded by wickedness and filthiness all day long. That's why we need to keep reading on the word of God. The Bible says, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. God's word is truth. God is truth. His Son is truth. The Holy Spirit is truth. His word is truth. But it doesn't stop there. Galatians chapter 2, verse 5. To whom we give place... by subjection, no, not for an hour, that the truth of the gospel might continue with you. The gospel is true. Paul is the writer of Galatians. He says, listen, he says, the truth of the gospel, the absolute truth of the gospel. And you may say, well, what is the gospel? Just turn back to Galatians chapter 1. And here we see Paul, a man who was very religious before he was in Acts chapter 9, before he was converted, as the Lord struck him, knocked him off his horse, his high horse, if you will. And he saw the Lord Jesus Christ, a revelation of the Lord Jesus Christ himself. And he got saved. Galatians chapter 1 says this about the gospel. This is Paul speaking, and this is where he received the gospel, the good news. Where did he receive it? From some Bible school or some theological place of learning? Or in a college or university? Is that where he learned it? Galatians chapter 1, and it says this. and verse 11 and 12. But I certify you, that is Paul speaking, brethren, that the gospel which was preached of me is not after man. What is religion after in this day and age we live in? Every single religion in this world today is brought up or brought forth by some man, his way of thinking. And people jumped on the horse, if you will, on the wagon, and they followed a man. Paul says, I certify you, brethren, that the gospel which I preach of me is not after man, for I neither received it of man, neither was I taught it, but by the revelation of Jesus Christ. He received it directly from the Lord Jesus Christ, the truth of the gospel. Listen what it says. For you have heard of my conversion. In time past in the Jews' religion, he was a religious man before that, how that beyond measure I persecuted the church of God and wasted it. And so on. So Paul received the gospel directly from the Lord. And what is the gospel? Turn back to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. This is the gospel in a nutshell. Let's read in at verse 1 of chapter 15. Moreover, again, this is Paul speaking. Paul the apostle, who was Saul of Tarsus before he was saved. Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel, that is the good news, which I preached unto you, which also you have received, and wherein you stand. Now he's speaking to Christians, by which also you are saved if you keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless you have believed in vain. For I delivered unto you, first of all, that which I also received, that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, according to truth, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the scriptures. That is the gospel in a nutshell. He was died for our sins, not his sins. Remember, God is truth. Jesus Christ is truth. The Holy Spirit is truth. The Lord Jesus Christ was holy, harmless, undefiled, and separate from sins. Yet he died on a cross for sins. Whose sins did he die for? Was he a man like you and I? Did he have in him a heart that was deceitful above all things and desperately wicked? No. He never sinned, never ever sinned. He could not sin. That's why he was the only one who could die for sin. He was the only one who was acceptable in God's sight to pay your penalty. Only one. And we can go through the Word of God, and many times he was spoken of as the Lamb of God. In the Old Testament, lambs were sacrificed time and time and time and time again. For what? There had to be bloodshed for the covering of sin. The Lord Jesus Christ was the Lamb of God, but he was only crucified once, and that blood that was shed that one time covered every sin. There's almost 7 billion people in the world today. He covered the sins of every one of them, and all the billions before, one time on the cross. He was the Lamb of God. He paid for your sins, and what God is asking you is to do what? Believe the truth. That you were a sinner. I am a sinner. And that Jesus Christ is the only Savior, the only one who can cleanse you from your sins and get you into God's heaven, can give you eternal life. He is the only one, not a religion. It's a relationship, a personal one-on-one relationship with Jesus Christ, a person who is truth and the only way to God. Turn to 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 3 and 4. This is God's desire for you, for me, for every man, woman, and child in this world today. His desire. Listen to what it says. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 3 and 4. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who will have all men to be saved. That is God's will, that every man, woman, and child in this world today would be saved. Listen to what it says. And to come unto the knowledge Of what? Of truth. Come unto the knowledge of truth. What truth are we talking about? We just talked about God who was truth, absolute. Absolutely nothing in him, no taint of sin, nothing. He is truth, absolute, verified, proven. We talked about Jesus Christ, God's Son. He is truth. He's the only way to God's heaven. He's the only way for eternal life. He's the only way that sins can be forgiven. We talked about the Holy Spirit, God the Spirit, one of the members of the Godhead. He is truth, the Spirit of truth. He is the comforter. That's why Christians today who are truly saved, they can go through trials, temptations, they can go through all kinds of things, and people look at them. How can they do it? Because they have a comforter. They are indwelt by the Spirit of God. If you go to Ephesians, if you're saved this morning, you are sealed by the Spirit of God. That is you. He is the down payment. That is that you are owned by God. You are purchased with a price. And he is a seal, like a truck that leaves one place and there's a seal on the door. That seal cannot be broken until it's delivered. And when you're delivered to God, that seal will be broken, gone. But in the meantime, the Holy Spirit is that seal. You're sealed with the Spirit of God, that down payment, that guarantee that you are a purchased possession. You are God's. And he is a comforter. He is the one who come alongside you. He'll live with you. He'll guide you. He'll, if you allow him to do that. And we know we can do a whole lot of speaking on the Spirit of God because we can grieve the Spirit, can't we, as Christians? We can also quench the Spirit of God. That's why we need to be in the Word of God. That's why we need to keep short accounts with him. That's why we need to be on our knees confessing our sins. That's why we need to be in the Word of God to be clean. And God's purpose for every person in this building this morning is that they would come to the knowledge of the truth. And you know what it says in John chapter 8 and verse 32? Mark it in your Bibles. The Lord Jesus Christ says this, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. The moment you come to the knowledge of the truth shall set you free. Free from what? Free from the slavery of sin that you're living in right now. Free from the slavery of sin you're living in right now. When you come to the knowledge. What is knowledge? Knowledge is to know something. Know something up here. What is understanding? It's to understand the facts. And what is wisdom? Wisdom is to apply that knowledge in your life. Are you wise this morning? Are you like the person in Psalm 14? The fool has said in his heart, there is no God. That is the opposite to what being wise or wisdom is foolishness or being a fool. God's purpose is that you would come to the knowledge of the truth. And the Spirit of God is in this world today. And there is things in this world where we have a conscience. We see the beauty of the Lord's handiwork. We see signs out by the roadside, speaking about the Lord Jesus. We see tracks of people hand out. We see people speaking on TV, and some of them are true. Some of them are not. You have been invited here this morning. And you may say, well, why should I listen to that guy up there, that Brian Taylor? I don't want you to listen to me. I want you to open this book. And I want you to read it for yourself. Because it's not me you believe in. It's no one else in this meeting place here. You must believe in God. You must believe in His Son. You must allow the Spirit of God in your life to convict you of sin, of righteousness, of judgment to come. You must believe that this word is truth. You must believe that God can change your life. You must have a conviction that is convicted that what God says is truth. Because you look into the world today and you tell me what is truth. Tell me what is truth in this world today. I can tell you a couple of things. Every one of us are going to die. Every single person in this building this morning is going to die sometime. That is truth. And it doesn't matter if you believe it or not. It will never change the fact that that is truth. I can tell you the truth about different laws. The law of gravitational pull. You get up in your house and up in the rooftop and you jump off and you say, well, I don't believe that. When you jump off your house, off the roof of your house, where are you going to go? You're going to go up? You're going to go down, aren't you? And I don't care if you climb up there 100 times. You jump off the roof, what happens? You're going to fall down, unless you're in a jet or something else. You're going to go down. That is truth, my friend. That will never change. That's a law. And God says every man and woman will die. You know what it says in Hebrews chapter 9? It is appointed on the man once to die. But after this, the judgment. Those are harsh words. Are you ready to be judged? If you're sitting here this morning and you're saved, Romans chapter 8 and verse 1 tells us the opposite side. There is therefore now no condemnation or judgment to those who are what? In Christ Jesus. How do I get into Christ? By faith, by going through the door, by taking God at His word. A good illustration in the Old Testament is the ark way back in Genesis. People today, do you know why? People just love to remove God out of the picture, don't they?
That's just a fable story, you know.
The story of the ark in the Old Testament is a picture of God's way of salvation. And if you read that story, I was speaking to little kids the other night, speaking about the ark. And you look at it in Genesis chapter 6 and 7 and 8. You think of that ark, and first of all, there was man's need. There it says the wickedness of the world was beyond the imagination of man's heart. And God said, I'm going to judge this world. He said to Noah, I want you to build a boat. There was specific plans put into place. You can read about it. And in those specific plans, that was a big boat, 450 feet long, 75 feet wide, 45 feet high. Three stories. But you know what? In that boat that large, there was only one door. One door. God's way of salvation. Noah preached to those people for 120 years. And most of them, what did they do? Just like today. And maybe people today will sit in here and they'll walk out and they'll start laughing. That's never going to happen to me. I'm going to live on forever. No such place as hell. God would never send me to hell. Where do we get all that garbage from? We get all those lies from man, don't we? From his way of thinking, instead of going to God's word. What is it that will take us to hell? Our sin. And if our sin is not forgiven, if we're not cleansed, if we're not in Jesus Christ, how do we get into the... You say, well, what has Jesus Christ got to do with anything with me? It says the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sins. How do I get into that blood? How do I get into that cleansing? By faith. For by grace are you saved through faith. The word grace means God given to you something you do not deserve. But the moment you bow your knee and you said, Lord, I believe what you say. I am a sinner. I believe that your son died for my sins. I want to be saved. I want to be cleansed this morning. And you're sincere. And you say, I want to live for you. I want to base my life on your word. He will save you. It's like that. And you know what? You will never be the same. I guarantee it. You'll never be the same. We could go into many stories, but time is running out. Living in the truth, just one verse. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 22. Listen to what it says. Seeing you have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love or sincere love of the brethren, see that you love one another with a pure heart fervently. 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 15. We all know the verse. After we get saved, it says this, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. That's what the Word of God is. It's a blueprint from A to Z. It's our way to heaven. It's our way to righteousness. It's our way to be accepted in the Beloved. It's our way to see how to be saved. It's a way to show us that we're sinners. We need salvation. We need to be cleansed. The Word of God is a very precious book. And you know what? It will never, ever, ever, ever go away. The Word of God will go on forever. Let me give you a verse. It says in Matthew chapter 24 and verse 35, "Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall never pass away." This Word of God is here today. It was here for the last thousands of years, and it's going to be here forever. Even after the world and heavens have passed away, God's Word will never change. The Word of God says He's omniscient. He's all-knowing. He's all-seeing. It says He is omnipresent. Read Psalm 139. That means He is present at all times. He sees you no matter where you are. He's omnipotent. He's all-powerful. He is also immutable, that is, unchanging. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He's not like you and I. We change. We have moods. We have everything else. We get older and we get more soft and whatever else. God does not do that. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. What God said way back in Genesis chapter 1 and then what He says in Revelation chapter, the last chapter in the book, He means what He says, and He says what He means. And when we get that into our minds and we understand and we say, "Lord, I believe it, I accept it. Will you save me?" That's when the Lord can deal with us. That's when He can cleanse us. That's when He can save us from our sins. Did you ever do that? You say, "No." And you know what? You have all the right in the world. You say, "Well, I have my rights." You do. And you don't have to believe what I said this morning. You don't have to believe God's Word. But I want to say this. Remember, with your choices, you will live with the consequences. You and no one else will be to blame for the choices that you make today. No one else. Can I give you one verse? Warning to those who reject the truth. 1 John chapter 2 and verse 4 says this, and there's a lot of people in the world today say, "I believe in God." "He that saith, I know Him," I know God, "and keepeth not His commandments is a liar." And listen to this. "And the truth is not in him." Those are harsh words, aren't they? "He that saith, I know Him, and keepeth not His commandments is a liar, and the truth is not in him." John chapter 8, we see there's a verse there. Speaking, and the Lord was speaking to a group of people who mocked Him and made fun of Him. And they said this, and He says, "You are of your father the devil, and the lusts of your father ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning, and abode not in truth, because there was no truth in him." The devil is the god of this world, small g. And that's why there's so much wickedness and falseness in this world today. "Because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it." If you go to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, we speak there about a group of people who are going to be left behind. And that could happen this morning. We read in God's Word about something that is called the rapture. And there's nothing in the Word of God that needs to be fulfilled before that's going to happen. The rapture is when the Lord Jesus Christ, the one who died on Calvary's cross, who paid the price of every man's sin, every woman's, He's going to come back. The Father's going to say, "Go get them." Go get who? And it says He's going to come in the air, a cloud. And those who are saved in the twinkling of an eye are going to meet the Lord in the air. The rest are going to be left behind. And there may be people sitting here this morning who have heard the gospel over and over and over, and you're sitting here and you know full well you're not saved. And maybe you even think, "Well, I'll have a second chance. Maybe someday I'll be like the thief on the cross." 2 Thessalonians says He will give them strong delusion that they will believe a lie. They will believe a lie. In other words, God's not going to give you a second chance. No more. There comes a point in time when the door will be shut. And listen to what it says, that they might all be damned who believed not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. My friends, those are very potent words, very pertinent words. And my friend, if you're not saved this morning, you are living on extremely dangerous ground. And God asks you to believe something that is absolutely true. And you will turn away and say, no, thank you. I'm going to do it my own way. I believe something entirely different. And yet I expect to get into God's heaven. Give your head a shake. He's the creator. You are a creature. And don't ever fool yourself. God demands you and I to believe the truth. That's his will, that we'd all come to the truth, to the knowledge of the truth. Are you saved this morning? Even if you are saved and we're not living the way we should, we need to get back to God's word. We need to take God at his word. And we need to live by the blueprint, by the directions he gives us. Let's close in prayer. Our Father, we bow in the precious name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank thee for thy holy word. We thank thee for the Spirit of God, for the Son of God. And Father, we thank thee your Son died for our sins. We thank thee, Father, for the presence of the Spirit of God who is even in our midst this morning. We pray, Father, that he would prick hearts this morning. He would show men and women they are sinners. Their need of righteousness to be right with God. Or, Father, to endure the consequences of judgment to come. Father, help us to take this sincerely. Be serious about it. The most important question in our lives, are we right with the Lord Jesus Christ? May we not be like the Pilate, as he would say, what is truth? May we accept the truth this morning that Jesus Christ died for our sins. He was buried. He rose again. He's a living Savior, and someday soon, maybe today, he's coming for those who are saved. We pray, Father, that people would see their need, the necessity of being saved in this lost world, in this wicked world. Father, part us with thy blessings, we pray, for we ask it in the lovely name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.